Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
My guy Nick Kostos, at the Kostos on Twitter, is the founding father of hashtag Wagertainment, and I hate him for it. Co-host on You Better You Bet. Nick, I miss doing the show, since that means we've got nothing to bet on, but it's a nice change of pace because I don't miss the producer. How you doing, my man?
Good to talk to you, brother. I also don't miss the producer, even though I still got to deal with our guy Eli. Yeah, it's good to have as much limited contact with our guy Eli as possible.
What are you doing to stay sane in these crazy times?
Man, that's a good question, man. I'll tell you what I don't do. I don't watch, like, I can't, for whatever reason, like, I've been watching sports for, as you know, Joe, for, like, my entire life. I've seen, like, all these classic games for the most part, except the ones that I'm not old enough, and I'm born in 83. So, like, I've seen most of these classic games that are being replayed. I got no desire to kind of watch, like, a game that I've already seen. Like, I know the ending to it. I watched it already. I gambled on it, but probably lost gambling on it. I got no desire to do that. So I really haven't been watching, like, a ton of sports. Like, I still read about sports, obviously, but I haven't been watching a lot of that stuff. And, like, I can't really bring myself to watch, like, a lot of, like, the sports studio programming right now, only because, like, I feel like, you know, like, I'm reading all this stuff kind of, why do I have to do that, you know, and there are no games anyway. So really, like, I try to work out every day. Sometimes it gets done, you know, sometimes it doesn't. I've gotten back into video games, which is like, I feel like I'm like a 36-year-old, but I'm actually 15 again now. I've been playing video games, which is fun. I just started watching Tiger King on Netflix with my girlfriend earlier today.
Watched the first episode. I binged it.
Oh, I am going to binge it. With each person that was introduced, I'm like, these people are all insane. So I watched The Circle. I watched Love is Blind. So it's like, you know, watching TV, trying to stay sane, working out, playing video games. And really, it's just like, it's like that Nine Inch Nails song. Every day is exactly the same. I don't have as good a voice as Trent Reznor, but you get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I know I had to check a few times. I'm like, oh, it is just Wednesday. It feels like this week is on day number 15. And for us,
no,
we've been on
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Joe, when the NBA season. It feels like it's been 10 years. It was 2 weeks ago that Rudy Gobert tested positive for the coronavirus and the NBA suspended the season. 2 weeks. It feels like it's been 10 years.
I know. What's it going to feel like in a couple of months when we still don't have sports? You've been positive about this throughout, and when you are, some people get really mad at you. Even when we were doing shows, you've been targeting June 1. There was a report from Jeff Passan today. They were talking about early June, even though that's an optimistic viewpoint. Are you still holding out hope for June 1?
I am. And I think that there are a couple of reasons that I'm going to give. And one is very, and two of the reasons are very recent. Dr. Fauci today, who I think has become a rock star through all of this thing, New Yorker, shout out to New York. Dr. Fauci said, you know, and I actually tweeted this out when he was saying that, you know, there's probably going to be like another cycle of the coronavirus, right? Probably coming up this winter, right? So it'll probably temper off a little bit once the weather starts to get warmer, and then it'll probably come back a little bit when the weather gets cooler. But he's saying, like, we're going to have like a menu, like we'll be working on the vaccine. It won't be ready immediately, but we'll have like a menu of antiviral medication. We're going to have a much better idea, and we'll be much better equipped to face this when it comes back. And then he added in, and I thought this was really critical, and I tweeted this from my account at the Costo, shameless plug, please follow me because I'm insecure and it makes me feel better about myself. But Dr. Fauci says at the end of this clip, I'm confident, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't remember exactly, but he goes, but I'm confident that we're going to stop this now. So I think that, like, he wouldn't say something like that, and it was a definitive statement, and maybe, like, he didn't mean for it to come out like that, but it was fairly definitive, and I don't think that means, like, it's going to be done tomorrow or next week or in a month from now, but I think, like, they are optimistic and confident that they're going to get a handle on this. The second reason for optimism, and this relates to the sports world, how about what Mark Cuban said yesterday? Like, Mark Cuban said, you know, he's talked to a lot of people, and Mark Cuban is you know, maybe, like, an NBA owner that's obviously very much in the limelight, in the forefront, right? He's on Shark Tank, so it's like Mark Cuban is the type of dude where, like, there may be some NBA owners that we don't see out there. We don't know kind of what they do. We know Mark Cuban talks to everyone, knows everyone in different spaces. So when Mark Cuban comes out and says yesterday, over under June 1st, and I'm taking the under. I don't think that, and I think like this is like me putting like my like amateur psychologist hat on for a second, but I think you'll agree with me, Joe, and I think reasonable people will agree. I don't think Mark Cuban would say that unless he had like some sort of belief or reason to believe that that was going to be the case. Like, I don't think Mark Cuban, like for as smart a guy, as business savvy as he is going to float something like that out there if there's no chance that's going to happen. Like, if he's saying that, like, I'm taking the under, he's got to know something, right? That like, or like have some kind of great belief. I would say he probably knows something that maybe we don't know. Is that a definite? Does that definitely mean sports are going to be back? It doesn't, but it does give me a lot of confidence that a guy like that is saying he's going to take the under, because I don't think he would just say that willy-nilly. I think it's got to be coming from somewhere. And the other thing, the third thing would be, let's look at what's happening. And maybe we want to like disqualify China from this because there's a lot of talk. And I'm not trying to be political here, but a lot of people obviously have questions as to the veracity, you know, the truth being told by the Chinese regime as to what's going on there. Let's just take a look at Korea, right? What's going on in South Korea. And I understand that the counter to this is, well, their measures were so much more extreme than ours. I get it. But like they were in the span of a couple months being able to play basketball again. Like there's baseball being played now in South Korea. So if we're going to operate on that timeline, and I will be a little bit American exceptionalism and a little bit of a patriot here, and it may turn people off and I don't really care, but like we are the best country in the world, the United States of America, and we have unbelievable resources and tons of smart people. And I have to think that if that could happen in a couple months there, maybe it takes an extra month here because we were a little lagging behind. I don't think this is going to stretch into the fall. I hope that I'm right. I think that I'm going to be. I'm still targeting sometime in June, latest maybe 4th of July for Major League Baseball opening day.
I hope you're right. I know everybody listening hopes you're right. And it's going to hit home again tomorrow because that's supposed to be opening day. And you mentioned the classic games. Like tomorrow, we're going to be airing the Mark Burley perfect game from 2009. And I've also had a tough time getting into it. Maybe it's a little different with baseball on radio. I'll find out tomorrow night. But like locally, they've been airing all these Bulls and Blackhawks playoff games. And right now on the TV in my office, they're airing a 1996 Bulls-Knicks playoff game. One of the many times the Bulls eliminated the Knicks in the postseason.
Yeah,
it'd
be a 80,
I don't think it's 89, 91, 92, 93. I believe this is 1996. Scotty, I mean, he just hit a three at this ridiculous dunk. It was awesome. But I won't ask, I won't ask you about those days. As long as we're talking about baseball, your Yankees were primed. It was all set up. And now baseball doesn't always happen like we expect. But it was looking like everyone was predicting a Yankees-Dodgers World Series, specifically in the American League. Chris Sale has Tommy John. They trade bets. They're clearly taking a huge step back. Who knows how the Astros were going to handle everything this upcoming season. Now nobody's talking about Houston. If this goes on and we're talking about maybe a 100-game season, I mean, it's got to be pretty deflating if you don't get the full sample size and you don't get the Yankee season that you were expecting.
Well, I actually, Joe, and like you're right about that because like I'm a sports junkie just like you are, and I'm sure the listeners are as well. Like we want there to be a zillion games because we love this stuff, right? But I actually think that this break and like I mean, you want to talk about like trying to find a silver lining and like a cloud of crap like we've got with this coronavirus right now would be that, you know, the Yankees had so many injury concerns. Like players were dropping like flies. Like Aaron Judge like was coming out with like a new term for his injury every single day, or like the James Paxton's back, etc. Where this break, I think, may actually be beneficial for the Yankees here, get fully healthy, and they're going to come back and they're going to be an absolute monster and a bear to deal with here, where I think that this may actually like hurt other teams that are competing with the Yankees. And I actually think, Joe, this may actually end up helping the Yankees, as morbid as that might sound, like a global pandemic could help a baseball team, but I actually think that could be the case.
The hotbed has been in New York, and for those that don't know, you are in Connecticut, you're not in New York. But you have so many ties there and so many
friends. Oh, I'm
so
in New York,
friends.
Joe. I'm
oh, you're in New
girls.
York now?
I'm in New York. I'm technically
right.
New York City. I'm in Staten Island, yeah.
Oh, and the numbers there are so scary. Have you been in touch with anything or anybody that believes that they have it?
This is not to like alarm people because there's a pre-existing condition and like and an elderly person involved with this. But one of my buddies, his father-in-law, so his wife's dad, is like very sick and on like a ventilator and is on diet. He's got other issues also though. But yeah, so like that they were. I don't know. I think, like, I don't know how they contracted it, but, like, a bunch of them, like, the bunch of people in the family all got it kind of at the same time. So, like, that's a really scary situation. But I'm not trying to alarm people here. Like, he's, like, kind of fits the mold of what we're talking about. Elderly yeah. with a pre-existing condition, which is obviously makes you extremely susceptible to this, you know, unbelievably ridiculous virus that everybody's dealing with. But I can say, besides for that, you know, thankfully, I don't really know anyone that kind of has contracted it. I mean, one of my friends thinks he had it, but, like, it could have been the flu, and he kind of, like, stayed inside for a couple of weeks and feels better now, and he kind of hasn't left his apartment at all. I joked with you, Joe, and I was kind of, like, half joking on the show, but, like, and, you know, this, it came to Chicago, I think, in January, and we were doing those shows on The Score, and, like, I live in New York, Connecticut, and I was getting flown to Chicago, and I remember joking with you on the show being like, man, I don't want to come to Chicago. Coronavirus is there, because, like, I was reading about this back in November, you know, and I didn't want to come to Chicago.
We had three or four positive cases when you were flying back and forth to Chicago for those games throughout the NFL playoffs, and many more in New York. But today the number was at 1,865.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And, like, there was a time, like, and I don't even remember, like, when it was, because, like, I don't really, you know me, like, I don't really keep track of stuff like this. It's just not really how my mind works. Where I remember telling my girlfriend, who's a nurse, that, like, I was really lethargic, and, you know, there are times when I have a vice which I engage in more than others, and, like, I was coughing more than usual, and it was odd because, like, that was never really happening with me before. It was, like, new, and I was very lethargic, and, like, I couldn't put a finger on why, and, like, my body hurt all the time, and, like, and I, like, I work out, but, like, I'm not, like, a, you know, stud athletic specimen or anything, and, like, you kind of, like, know your body. I'm almost 37 years old. You kind of know your body, right? Like, when you get sore, like, you know what type of soreness it is. And I was having soreness that I did not think was right. It was normal. I was having fatigue that I did not think was normal. I don't do anything. Like, I literally host a radio show in my apartment in my boxers, you know, so it's not like I'm, like, running marathons or anything. And my cough was crazy, like, was really, like, out there, like, way worse than it had ever been before. And I'm kind of, like, wondering, like, maybe I had this virus and I'm young and, like, I don't really get sick that often. So maybe, like, my body yeah. fought it off, and I wouldn't be surprised. And, like, I wouldn't be surprised if I had it. Like, I really wouldn't. I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but, like, it's been here, both in Chicago, in New York, and in the country, obviously in the more populated areas, for a lot longer, obviously, than the last month.
And you were flying, and you were staying in hotels. You add all that on, meeting a lot of people. It wouldn't surprise me at all as we continue to learn more and more about this.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, like, the one, like, silver lining that I try and take of this right now is I don't even know how comfortable I feel saying stuff like this because I'm not an expert with this stuff. But, like, it's my hope that the more people if we're operating right under the supposition, and just follow me here for a second here, and I'm not an expert, but if we're operating under the supposition, and like Cuomo and de Blasio, like the governor and mayor respectively of New York, have said this recently, that, like, it's been here for a while. If that's the case, then the mortality rate has to be lower than is being floated out there right now. Like, that has to be the case, right? Because mm-hmm. people would have been dying, and they would have been like, why are these people dying? And, like, that has not been the case, right? And Dr. Birx today, who's done a phenomenal job, like, her and Dr. Fauci have been the rock stars of these White House press conferences. Dr. Birx, yes. like, basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, and this is not political, so please no one take this as anything political. I'm just kind of reiterating what she said. She basically said that, like, a lot of these models that are out there that are, like, predicting, like, deaths and, like, the hundreds of thousands or, like, millions even, like, is kind of, like, not accurate. So I think that that's kind of the one positive that we can take, like, where it may sound scary to think, like, wow, like, it's been here for so long. I actually think that may be a positive, because then it means that the mortality rate is probably lower than a lot of people think it probably is going to be. And again, I'm not an expert, kind of my armchair analysis, but I do think I'm probably right about that.
With Nick Costos, he's on Twitter at The Costos. He hosts You Better You Bet on radio.com sports app. And once sports returns, I'll be returning to that show. And Nick, a silver lining that we do have is the NFL over the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
And I know you are probably bothered by the tweet we saw this morning from Mike Freeman saying that people in the league are saying that they don't think the season's going to start on time. But I am happy that for now it doesn't seem like they're going to be messing with that April 23, 24, 25 date of the NFL draft.
Yeah, and also I'll just say, like, and this is not to discredit Mike Freeman, who's kind of like a buddy of mine, and, like, we were used to be coworkers of Bleacher Report, but if you look at the betting markets right now, like, the NFL season starting on time is a big favorite. So That's what I would not get too caught up in that. I am sure that Mike, like, people have said that, and I'm sure that's a legitimate concern. But, like, again, like, let's go to Joe, like, this is what you and I do for a living, kind of. Like, what does the betting market say? We always trust the market. The market thinks that the NFL season is going to start on time. Like, that's the overwhelming favorite, and I certainly hope that's going to be the case. And I think the NFL draft and, like, is not only just, like, a mega sort of event in terms of fan interest, right? Like even, like, the casual fan gets into the NFL draft. For NFL fans, it's, like, you know, Christmas in April. But it's going to be a majorly, you know, bet-on event as well, especially with no sports going on. And, like, I've bet on the NFL draft the last couple of years. I had one of my biggest gambling wins last year was DK Metcalf over, like, 17.5 draft position. He went in the second round. Easy winner. So, yeah, like, I'm praying, Joe, that we get this NFL draft, like, an oasis in this never-ending desert we're in right now. Because not only am I going to watch it as a member of the media who does it for his job, but as a sports fan, as a diehard football fan, and also as a gambler. So I can't wait for it, and I really hope it goes as scheduled, April 23rd to the 25th.
I know the NFL people will tell you different, but the NFL would be just fine if you don't have rookie OTAs, if you don't have the team OTAs, if baseball's back by June or even July, and these training camps typically start late July. The NFL season will be just fine. They could just keep moving things along no matter when they can finally start to practice.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think that, you know, speaking to, you know, the Chicago audience right now, I think that that's one of the reasons why you guys should feel good about your new quarterback, Nick Foles. Now, I kind of, Joe, I've been saying it, and you know my opinion on this. I think the Bears are going to win the NFC North this year. Like, I think that they are due for the defense to bounce back. I don't know if it's going to be as good as it was in 2018, but I think it'll be better than it was in 2019. And, you know, they could put Dr. Fauci on the field, and he'd be an upgrade over Mitch Trubisky, who obviously is a complete total stiff. To any Mitch truthers out there, I mean, kind of get your head out of your derriere and kind of accept reality at this point. But Foles has familiarity with his coaching staff to a degree, and I think that's obviously going to help him out a little bit here with John DeFilippo, obviously, who was with him both in Philadelphia and in Jacksonville. So and Bill Lazor was with him in Philadelphia. Lazor, the offensive
coordinator.
And Nagy, of course, as well in Kansas City. So, and I think that's kind of a real kind of underrated aspect of a lot of the moves that we've seen here this offseason, where there are going to be, like, whether, like, let's say the season starts on time, the NFL season starts on time. There are not going to be as many off-season workouts here. You know, not as much time, like, to get into the verbiage, right, and to practice. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, I'm not a huge Philip Rivers guy anymore. Like, I think Rivers is kind of shot. But we kind of can't look past the fact that he was with Frank Reich and he was with Shane Steichen and Sirianni. Like he was with these guys in San Diego. And, like, he's kind of familiar with the offensive scheme there. He'll be able to hit the ground running. And I think so will Nick Foles. So I think that's something to keep in mind as we handicap this coming season. Like, where's the familiarity, like, with some of these new players? Because there ain't going to be a lot of offseason. Even if the NFL season goes off on time, it's not going to be like a regular offseason in terms of the preparation.
They went 8-8 with extremely poor quarterback play, just no offensive line, no run game to speak of, even though you don't have to have that in 2019, 2020, but it's nice to have at least a little bit. And when the defenses know exactly what you're doing, it's tough. Extreme turnover regression, injuries, Akeem Hicks, big part of this defense, missing nearly the entire year. They upgrade the pass rush. You go 8-8 last year, and Nick, the only legal book in Illinois closed right now, but I took a double check today, and the win total is back at 7.5 -110 on both sides. I'm trying not to be a homer, but I don't see this team going below 500 with Foles.
Yeah, and I'll just say this to anyone out there that would call Joe a homer. Like, Joe and I did You Better You Bet, like, the entire football season from the offseason, and both of us, and Joe, especially you, were very vociferous and vocal about the Bears being a chic underpick. Like, the Bears were, like, a big Super Bowl pick last year, and I think we kind of objectively looked at it, especially for you being in Chicago. So, like, and you were like, you know, like, this team, this defense is coming back down to earth, and I know Bears fans get salty about that, but look, we were right. It's not a question of, like, some of what we want to happen. It's what a question of what we think is going to happen. That's kind of what we get paid to do. And I kind of think it's going to be the other way around this year, and I can't state enough. And look, you're right about the pass rush, letting go Leonard Floyd and upgrading the pass rush. There's no doubt about it, and I think that the personnel will be better this year. But we cannot overstate enough how much of an upgrade. And look, maybe people can say, look, we'd rather have Cam Newton. We don't know how healthy Cam Newton is. Maybe you'd rather have Andy Dalton. I personally, you know, we know what Andy Dalton is.
Bring in Cam too.
Yeah, bring it. absolutely. Bring Cam in too if he's healthy. That's the problem, though, is we don't know if Cam is healthy. But, like, we know what Dalton's ceiling is, and it's not very high. Foles' floor may be lower than Dalton's, but Foles' ceiling was out-dueling Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, and arguably the best Super Bowl Brady ever played that the Patriots lost because Foles put 40-plus points up on a Bill Belichick defense. So the upgraded quarterback is going to be massive here. And I know Foles kind of stunk last year in Jacksonville, but he's not worse than Mitch Trubisky. And a Mitch Trubisky-led led offense led the Bears, and I know he didn't play all 16 games, but they went 8-8 last year. So you put Foles on this team, he doesn't make the stupid mistakes. I think the offense will be better as a result. Allen Robinson's going to be better as a result. I see no way this team doesn't go, like you said, at least 500. I think they're closer to a 10-win team, and they're right now they're my pick to win the NFC North, the Bears.
Nick, multiple teams, very high in familiarity. We're seeing some free agent signings, so any kind of move that involve connections to coaching staffs, like we're talking about here with the Bears. Before the pandemic, we were very high on the Cowboys. Now you take a step back and you look at a team. We don't know when they're going to start to practice or have their camp or how many exhibition games they're going to have, if you have any value there. And they have a new head coach. Are you still high on Dallas?
Oh, yeah. It ain't about X's and O's. It's about Jim's and Joe's, I think is what the expression is, right? So, like, yes, maybe it'll take a little bit for Mike McCarthy to implement a system, but here's the deal, right? The Cowboys got horses, man. Like, that is a loaded, loaded team and a loaded, loaded offense. So, I mean, I look at Dallas last year, and this may be a controversial statement, and maybe I'm incorrect with it, and I will acknowledge that when I say it, but I think there's at least a chance that the most talented team in the NFC last year didn't even make the playoffs, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. I think there's a case to be made that the Cowboys were actually the best roster and not the team that represented the NFL in the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers, and they were done in by very poor head coaching with Jason Garrett. So people may not be the biggest Mike McCarthy fans in the world. I'm sure Bears fans hate him because McCarthy's Packers tortured the Bears fans for so long. But McCarthy is going to be an upgrade on Jason Garrett because, like with Mitch Trubisky, how could you be worse? So the coaching is going to be better, and the team is just utterly stacked now. The retirement of Travis Frederick with their all-pro center obviously hurts, so that's going to be a blow in the middle of their offensive line. But let's assume that they're able to get a center in the draft who's at least competent, right? The offensive line is great. You're bringing back Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. You know, Dak's there for 1 year. He's going to be motivated to have a major year, and I'm a huge Dak Prescott fan. You bring back Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup is an ascending player as well. They let Jason Witten go. Jason Witten's corpse, which was a good move. They put a second-round tender on Blake Jarwin, who's a young ascending tight end. This offense is going to be nasty this year. I look at the Cowboys right now as one of the two best teams in the NFC, and that other team, Joe, that I like in the NFC, that would be TB/TB, Tom Brady in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I can certainly understand that one. I can't wait as we get closer and closer to the season to talk about the Bucs, believe it or not. I mean, that's the importance of Tom Brady. Do you recall, since we're obviously talking about the NFL, because we can't wait to bet on the draft next month and the upcoming season, whenever it starts, do you recall when you really got the sports betting itch and how it revolves around the NFL? Because I think it does for most of us. I have a specific moment in mind when I was younger and I won a huge bet. Do you have that moment?
Well, I honestly, Joe, I don't know if I can give you a great answer as it concerns the NFL, but like, I think, because when I started gambling on sports was college basketball season. It was probably like early 2005, so it was my senior year of college when I really started to, so about 15 years ago at this point. And one of my buddies was like, oh, I got like this account, we should gamble on games, because that's all we did. That's all I've done my whole life is watch games. And I remember we bet, and it's a great example, I think, and I think I've used this, I think I've talked with you about this game before, where Oklahoma was ranked, right? They were ranked like the 18th team in the country. And they were on the road at Oklahoma State, who was unranked. And Oklahoma was a one-point favorite, or OK State was a one-point favorite. And I remember we all looked at it, my friends and I, like dumb freaking like 20-year-olds, and we're like, wow, Oklahoma's only a one-point favorite or a one-point underdog? Let's bet a lot on Oklahoma. And Kevin Bookout, like the big white center, was on Oklahoma. And we bet on Oklahoma, and of course, the home underdog, the primetime home underdog, won by like 25 points. And like, it was at that moment that I was like, wow, like even though I lost, I was like, this is so cool. Like the rush of having like the money on the game. And then it kind of carried through that college basketball season into the summer. And then that 2005 NFL season, which culminated with the Steelers beating the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. I remember losing a lot of money on the AFC Championship game. I had Jake Plummer and the Broncos. Steelers won that game, obviously. So that's really where it started for me.
See, I remember Super Bowl 27 like it was yesterday. That was the Michael Jackson halftime show. The Cowboys won the Super Bowl over Buffalo. And before the playoffs started that year, I remember telling my dad, he was going to what they call an auction. You just bid on every team in the playoffs. And highest bid, obviously, that's one of your teams. I told him, you've got to get the Cowboys. They're going to take down the Niners. Whatever you do, get the Cowboys. He ends up getting the Cowboys. I remember there was a total points pool that I took at a big Super Bowl party. So that's when it really started for me when I was about 12 years old. The last time we did a show together, or one of the last times, you promised me that you would send some wrestling documentaries. So let's wrap with this, Nick, because everybody's got time, and I love a good doc. Give me your favorite wrestler, favorite tag team, and favorite documentary.
Ooh, I don't know if I want to give a documentary answer, but I would want people to check out the Broken Skull Sessions, which is Steve Austin's show right now. What he just did, like, watch a couple of them. The one he did with Bret Hart, they're all incredible. The one he did with Brett, though, which was recent, I think that aired not this past Monday, but the Monday previously, so it's relatively new, is absolutely sensational. And the one that he did with The Undertaker is also ridiculous. And he's done a couple. He had Vince on one. He had Lesnar on one. So, like,
where do you find it?
These are on WWE Network. And also, I have not watched these yet, but they have got critical acclaim. I'm just, like, I'm trying to, like, only keep it, like happy and, like, peaceful now. But, like, the Dark Side of the Ring Vice series, I've read nothing but great things about. People I respect, friends of mine, are really into it. And I believe that's on YouTube, so you can check that out as well as far as the documentaries are concerned. And look, you can't go wrong, and, like, I don't get paid by WWE. I actually think WWE's current product's pretty bad. So, like, they ain't paying me to say this, but a lot of the documentary stuff that you see on their network, the 24/7 series, is absolutely outstanding. So I don't think you can really go wrong with any of that stuff. It's all sensational. Favorite wrestler of all time is Shawn Michaels, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Kenny Omega, who's now with AEW, is making a late charge, but Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, will always be my favorite because, as you know, just like Shawn Michaels, Nick Costos, myself, does not rest in peace. We can stay up all night. So Michaels, my favorite wrestler. Favorite tag team of all time? That's an interesting one. I think I would go with the Dudleys. I think the Dudleys would be my favorite because I followed them from ECW, then to WWE, and, like, I've been a big wrestling fan my whole life, so, like, when, like, all, like, the ECW guys started to make their way, I kind of felt like they were mine because I watched them in ECW too. So I would say the Dudleys are probably my favorite tag team of all time, but I will say the Young Bucks right now in AEW making a late charge as well.
Nick, it was a lot of fun. The line sounds extremely clean, even better than we were doing shows on Skype.
Shocker, right? What a big surprise.
That's Nick Costos. Follow him on Twitter at The Costos. Check out You Better You Bet. Download the podcast. Also check it out on radio.com. Thanks, Nick.
Looking forward to talking to you again, Joe, on You Better You Bet once we get sports back. Can't wait for that. And to everyone out there, please stay safe. Wash your hands. Sports will be back before you know it, but we got to stay inside. The more we go outside and do dumb crap, the longer it'll be before sports comes back. So we do what we have to do, and then we'll have sports back in our lives. And it's going to be so glorious and so sensational when that happens. Absolutely cannot wait. Appreciate it, brother. You and your family stay safe, and everybody else as well.
Same. You do the same with your family as well. That's Nick Costos, founding father of Wagertainment, and entertaining follow on Twitter at The Costos. How about talking some baseball? It's supposed to be opening day tomorrow. Our good friend Ron Coomer will join us. Don't forget, starting next Wednesday, that is 1 week from today, next Wednesday, we're going to be running every Cubs playoff game from that 2016 championship run. Everyone. Number 1 through 17, 17 straight days, April 1st through the 17th. Pat and Ron will be joining me pregame, postgame, during the game. We're going to talk about that next with Ron Coomer. I'm Joe Ostrowski. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.